Christmas comes once a year, so get your stock today. All right, this is a message of cheer this morning. I just want to welcome all our people online that are watching, wherever you're watching from. We want to wish you a very, very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year if we don't see you until the end of this year. And we thank all our family of Faith City Church, wherever you are, celebrating with family and friends. We also want to thank all our family and friends of Spirit Life Television. If you're watching across the nation, wherever you are, Merry Christmas and have a wonderful season with your family. This message is a Christmas message of good cheer and goodwill towards all men. The idea of this message this morning is having goodwill, and you know, God showed us His goodwill towards all humanity, and He brought us in favor with Himself. We are, you know, that's the announcement at the birth of Jesus, that it's been announced that, you know, it's a good news of good cheer towards all men and favor with God. And so this is, I want to give you some, some scripture on different areas of good cheer. Luke chapter 2, if you would turn to Luke chapter 2, 14, the King James Version says, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace, goodwill." Everybody say goodwill. Goodwill towards men. That means includes women too. So not just men. I guess, you know, it means humanity basically. So I want to give you a tip. How many people would like to get a good tip for the season? Everybody's always giving their advice on Facebook and so on, you know, what you should do for Christmas. And well, I want to put my 2 cents into everybody here today. Anyway, this is not my, but somebody, I read this, about 25 tips for Christmas. I'm going to just give you the last one first, which is the best one. Here's a good tip. Live a Christian life or a Christmas life, not just Christmas Day. So many people put so much emphasis on this one day, December 25th, put all kinds of stress on everybody, all kinds of stress on your family. You put so much stress on yourself that you ought to make this day the most magical day. I don't know where you got that from. Probably Walt Disney growing up. Brainwashed you. And said, this has to be the best day ever, that no one ever supposed to die. Your family not supposed to die before Christmas. They should wait after Christmas. You know, what's wrong with them? And you shouldn't get sick. You shouldn't have the flu. I saw Ed Wesley, my cousin. He had the flu. I'm glad I didn't visit him. I said I was going to go visit him the other day. I'm losing my voice. But God helped me. And so, you know, we have so much expectation about what should happen on Christmas Day. You should have all the family members there. You know, well, you wouldn't want all your family members around. They're just, it's so, you know, so stressful around. So anyway, so live a Christmas life, not just a Christmas Day. It's possible that part of our problems around the holidays is that we're trying to cram a year's worth of love, celebrating, remembering into just one little time, space of time. So we have such high expectations. So, you know, God deserves all the praise and all the glory this Christmas season. He bought us spirit, soul, and body. He owns everything about us. The scripture says even the very breath that we breathe, that God gave us that. So we should use our energies, our love towards serving Him and making sure that He gets all the praise and all the glory in our lives. So stay away from Grinches this season. That's a good advice. Stay away from Grinches. Maybe you're a Grinch. I don't know. You might have to stay away from yourself because sometimes you get a real, you know, can get really flare up. You know, you can flare up once in a while. I get flared up about just about Christmas season when they start coming into my hockey time when I have to watch the hockey games. And so, you know, every year I watch all these hockey games. And my brother was here he's here from Geraldton. And we spend the whole day with each other sitting like this, watching the hockey games all day long. What a wonderful visit we've had. So thank God for that. Anyway. So Christmas means, you know, God giving his beloved son. Not only just to give his son, but to give his life to ransom us, to save our lives from hell. And we're born again right now. We're saved. If you should die today, you would be very in the presence of God. You know, last week I did a funeral for a cousin of mine that I grew up with. And I think about people like that are having a hard time this season. And I think about Max's brother, Abe. He was given a bad report. And then his wife got sick last night, and she's not in the hospital this morning. So if you're watching, God bless you. And she had a heart attack, I guess. And so I pray for her. If you remember Eva, pray for Eva. And she had to go through a procedure for her heart yesterday or the day before. And I think about people like that. There's so much stress around Christmas time. I don't know what's going on. And we need to have a good cheer. Amen? And God will work in our lives to bless other people. So I want to give you seven things that we have from God because we have his favor. Seven things. Everybody said, just seven? Well, we could be here all day. And we share a lot more than seven things. Now, I might have had my phone somewhere. I need my phone to communicate. And so thank you very much, Miss Cindy. Appreciate you for delivering all the mail to us. I'm glad you didn't go on strike. So, all right. Let's go and look at something here. So, you know, it says here in our verse of Scripture, glory to God in the highest, Luke 2:14, and peace, or at least, and on earth peace and goodwill towards all men. So I'm going to talk about seven things that God says that, you know, what we have as far as favor with God. So what is goodwill? Goodwill. Goodwill means, you know, it says goodwill towards all men. That's what the scripture says. But it also means, you know, kind of the kindness of God. You know, God has been very kind to us. And you can probably think of many times, you know, how he's been kind to you. You know, kindness is the expression of God's love towards us. His love is wonderful. Here's what Titus 3 and 4 and verse 5 says, New Living Translation. It says, but when God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us not because of our righteous things which we have done, but because of his mercy, he washed away our sins, giving us new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. So this kindness that God has given us, we've received his love, we received his redemption, we received his righteousness, we received his mercy, he washed away all our sins, he gave us new birth and a new life. God gave us brand new lives. You know, we can live a new life today. You know, we don't have to be afraid that God's going to count our sins against us. And I want to remind you, just to remind you, that whatever you've had before, problems, and you've brought your life to Jesus, and all your sins are washed away. But you have to live that way, right? You have to live with that perspective. But if you fall into some habit or some kind of situation, confess your sin. I said, dear Lord, I'm sorry. I'm not only sorry, but I repent. You know, not just you're sorry. To say, I repent. I'm turning away from this. With your help, I'm going to walk away from this thing that displeases you. We want to all please God. So the first thing, the goodwill, means that God's kindness has been given to you. Isn't that wonderful? God's kindness. So, on the other hand, Ephesians 2, or chapter 4, verse 32 says we ought to be kind to each other. How many of you have been kind this Christmas season? Well, a few hands are up anyway. You know, it's easy to get all grumpy. You know, it's easy to get grumpy in this time of season because, you know, after all, we're all stressed out and we deserve to just, you know, blow up once in a while, you know, just a little bit at least. So here's what Ephesians 4:32 says, and be ye kind to one another. Look at your neighbor and just say, I'm going to be kind today. At least today. Amen. It says also tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven. In other words, you know, we need to ask God to forgive other people, just like God forgave you. He doesn't bring up all your sins every time you do something wrong. The second thing is that we receive God's love. It says, John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So, this kind of love, this love that God has given us, actually is the love that has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The Word of God says that this love that he's actually displayed for all humanity is that same kind of love he put in all of us. The same love. So it says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says, that same love that he displayed towards the world, he put that same love in every individual. Amen? So we receive that love. It says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Are you listening to me? You know, that same love that he put in you, that he put in all of us, is the same love that he has. That when he forgave everybody else, that means you and I can forgive people, just like God does. But once in a while, I know that memory comes up, and boy, you get all hot. In fact, you stay up for a couple of hours thinking about all those things that why you shouldn't forgive that dirty rascal. And if I were God, I wouldn't bless him. And I'm going to do my best to hold back blessings. And if I see them on the road, I won't even look at them. Pretend he's not there. Sometimes, you know, I see people, you know, I don't know if they don't see me or not, because I seem to be invisible. But it's not because they don't like me. It's that sometimes people, you know, they don't want to talk to pastors for some reason because their sins might all come out at once. Something happens, you know. During that time, it was funny, last night I went to the gym, a friend of mine, one of the boys was in the change room, he says, hey, he says, you're famous. He says to me, eh? I said, oh, yeah. Didn't want to pay attention to him, but he said, I told my girlfriend, I know this guy. And he says, you're famous. Well, you know, and he went out the door, wished me Merry Christmas. He didn't give me anything. I thought he was going to give me something. It's not so wonderful, you know. So here's the kind of love that's inside of us. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4 to 7. You could read this in an Amplified Bible. It's a whole lot better in the Amplified Bible. But I'm going to read the New Living, because everybody needs this today. New Living. So this is the kind of love that's in you. It says, love is patient. You ever get impatient with people? Well, love says you better be patient. And it's kind, too, while it's being patient. Some people can't do both, you know. They can't juggle. They want to be patient, but they're not kind while they're patient. But you need to be patient and kind, right? That's what the scripture says here. He said that love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. You know, sometimes people get rude around, especially around Christmas time. Things come up at Christmas time. It does not demand its own way. This is the kind of love it is. It don't demand anything of anybody. So I was trying to think about these tips, you know. I watched this little video of these kids crying and throwing away. They got so mad because what they were expecting didn't get under the tree. We should play a trick on somebody today and just wrap up something, nothing in it, and see how they act, right? And then pull out the best gift ever after that. Now, he says that it does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. Well, I'm a little bit irritated today, you know, forgive me. Well, it says it doesn't get irritated with people. You know, you ever feel that way? You feel like, oh, that's my righteous indignation that's happening here. Okay, so it keeps no records of being wronged. That's a huge thing. This is the kind of love that's in you and me. Everybody said, this is the kind of love that's inside of me. Like right now. Turn to your neighbor and say, do you hear that? Do you believe that? Because that's what's inside of you. This is the kind of love. It doesn't keep any records of wrongs. You're just writing that down now and just say, I'm going to get that stinking feller. I'm going to make sure. I'm going to let him know. It does not rejoice in injustice. You know, when something bad happens to people, they say, well, they deserve it. Hey? They deserve. I knew that was coming to them. I just knew what a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. But how about you when things happen to you? So, rejoices in whatever truth wins out. No, love never gives up. Everybody say, love never gives up. It means this, that you believe the best in every person. I know they might have had a hard time. They were with you one time. They've been with you. Don't look at them like they're the same person. Because how would you like if somebody looked at you like you're the same person like you were before? You've grown since 5 years. And you're believing, even if they're not changed, you're going to believe they're going to change. Amen. That's right. You believe things are going to get better. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. That's a wonderful way to live. You don't have any, heartburn. Amen? It just get all tangled up on the inside of you. It never loses faith. It always hopeful. It endures through every circumstance. So it's such a strong love that it puts up with a lot of stuff, a lot of junk. That's the kind of love we have. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. Now, don't get it wrong when you say, that you love one another, even as I loved you. That doesn't mean that you're going to feel good about everything you do for everybody. Because love is not a feeling. Love is an expression. It's an outward action towards someone, a kindness act towards somebody, even when they don't deserve it. That's what love is all about. Maybe this Christmas you're going to bless people who've never been a blessing to you. You ever think about that? Some people, Jesus said, what's good is for you to love somebody when they're going to pay you back? You give to people who don't pay you back. You give to people who you'll never see them again, maybe. That's the kind of love you have. You all have that love inside you. Thank God for that. So that's just the love part. That's the kind of love. I'm just saying that the favor of God, he gave you that kind of love to love the world too. Favor. Angel told the mother-to-be of Jesus in Luke chapter 1:30. He said, don't be afraid, Mary, the angel said, for you have found favor with God. How many of you have God's favorites? Somebody said, God doesn't have any favorites. Well, that's wrong, man. I know I'm God's favorite. Now, we all can say that, right? We all can say, we're God's favorites. All of us are God's favorites, So, He says, you have found favor with God. This statement was not just for Mary, but this favor was given to all of us through Christ Jesus. We have found favor with God. Romans 12 and verse 10 says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honoring, preferring one another. You know, when you favor somebody, you prefer them. You said, you know, you want them to have the best things. You want to just bless them with the love and kindness. Here's a fourth one for you about when God says that. Friendship. You know, we become friends with God. We were enemies before Jesus came. The Bible says you were an enemy of God. God was against you, against the way we were living. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we're yet still sinners, we will certainly be saved from the life of the son. Romans 5:10. And James chapter 4 verse 4 says, whosoever therefore be a friend of this world is an enemy of God. Is an enemy of God. At one time before salvation, we were all enemies of God. But now we are friends of God. Not friends of the world. We don't want to have God as an enemy. Thank God that he's our friend. He's more than the friend that Scripture says. When you're a friend with somebody, there are lots of good rewards that come with being a friend. If you're a good friend, at least, you know, you want to be a good friend. You know, what are some of the things people do for each other when they're friends?
Get a free ride.
Get a free ride, yeah. What else? What else happens when you're a friend with somebody? Nobody's want to talk to me. Okay, well, go on. So think about it. I mean, some of you need a lesson on friendship. I guess we have to do a series on it. You give time? Share time with him, yeah, for sure. Huh? Being affectionate. Encouraging, listen to somebody, share. What's that? Supported, respected, feed them. I like that one the best, man. I'm a friend of Maxine. I'll be over there to this afternoon. Amen. Right there, Sterling. We're going to go right over there right after. He said, I'm your friend. Oh, man, food is the best way to man's stomach. They said man's stomach is the best way to man. But you know, we need to be a real friend to people. Show kindness and be there for people. Ever tell you, I thought you were my friend. when you're honest with them, especially, right?
Yeah.
They say, oh, geez, you're always bumming. I thought you were my friend. I'm just going to borrow your car for like a week. All right. Okay, so God's favor means generosity, the generosity of God. It means number five, means generosity. However, he's given each one of us a special gift. Everybody say special gift.
Special gift.
To the generosity of Christ. God has given each one of us, Ephesians 4:7, from his generosity, he's given you a special gift. Every one of you right now, I don't know what you feel like, what you think about it. I don't know where your esteem is like, but every one of you has more than just one gift. Can you think of any this morning that you have like a gift in you that, you know, you didn't go to university for it? You didn't have to study lots for it, but it's inside of you. It's there. And if you don't know that yet, you need to start to, you know, it's like treasure. The Bible says it's like treasure. You know, a man who has treasure, he'll, or at least he wants to seek for treasure, he'll dig. You got to dig in. And God has put that inside of you. At 1 Timothy 6:18 says, tell them to do good, that's you and I, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous givers, sharing with others. You know, so we need to be generous people. We're generous people. Lord, I'm sorry about that. But, I had a bad stomach this morning. I didn't mean that. I told you about things happening. They cut me right down. It must be the end of the service. What time is it over here? Power failure.
This got to work now. There it is. So we'll be okay. This will be fine. This is telling me it's going to shut off any time, but this is going to be okay. We're going to be okay because I only have a couple of minutes. Okay, generosity. To be rich in good deeds. How many of you are rich in good deeds? So generous, you know, we're generous. God is rich towards us, right? He's been rich towards us. But also that we need to extend this good deed to other people, to be good to other people. And so notice this, Titus 3:14 says, our people must learn to do good by meeting urgent needs, the urgent needs of other people, then they will not be unproductive. So, you know, we need to learn to help out where we see help is needed in people's lives. Sometimes we're just kind of walk off because we're too busy. When the Holy Spirit is trying to make you into a blessing and he'll bless you for it, we miss a whole lot of blessings along the way. Thank God. I want to urge you today, please don't undermine the voice of the Holy Spirit and walk away when the Spirit of God tells you to do something good for somebody. You know, yesterday I was at the paying for my groceries, and there was a man. He was looking around for, I don't know what he was looking for. He was having a conversation. I pretend not to listen to them very much because I'm just kind of looking around. I said, and the man ran out. I guess I don't know where he went to get his wallet or whatever to his car. I told that cashier, no. He said, I'll pay for that. I said, he said, no. Don't pay for it. I said, no, I'll pay for that. You know, so we need to be ready to help whoever needs their help. And so, you know, maybe somebody today is in a hospital that you can go and be generous with your time. Do a good deed and be a blessing there. What a wonderful place it would be just to hang out at the hospital all day long, right? Yeah, praise God, yeah. Number seven, having good favor means being on the right side. John 21:6, then he said, throw out your net on the right-hand side of your boat, and you'll get some. So they did, and they couldn't haul out the haul because of the net because there were so many. You know, sometimes, you know, God wants us to do something another way because we're on the right side of God, and whenever he tells you to do something, there's going to be a blessing there. And these guys, you know, they were fished all night. They couldn't catch anything. Jesus comes along. How you guys doing? He said, we've been fishing all night. We're tired. We just finished cleaning our nets. Which reminds me, many of you need to go home right after service and clean your house. Santa is coming. I like to make jokes of this because I've been waiting for Santa for a long time. So anyway, we need to clean house. So we're on the right side of God's blessing. You know, you're at the right place. You're situated at the right time right now for the blessings of God to come your way. So you know, the Bible says we're in the last days. Now, I don't know what it's like timetable-wise, every little inch of it, but we are in the last days. You look at the world around us. Even the Bible says the world, even the very earth is groaning for salvation. There's all the earthquakes and all the catastrophes going on that God wants to, you know, replenish and recreate this world to fashion it toward what he wanted it to be. Sin affects everything, the very earth. And so, but we're on the right side with God. You know, if the world, if an earthquake, you know, what do you call that when there's a big hole there? I don't have any words for it. Right? What is it? A crater?
Sinkhole?
A black hole. Well, when the earth cracks up, right? When it what? Plates? Quake. Okay, boys and girls, let's see. Well, this is a really good service. We need to close up now. I'm trying to do a sermon. Everything breaks up. It really disturbed. I was having a good flow there for a while. Merry Christmas, everybody. We're going to sing a song. We're going to close with a song. Let's sing Come All Ye Faithful. Fakeful. Okay, where's all the singers? Just you? Are you going to sing this? Yeah, yeah. How many people like to hear her sing a solo? Huh? Woo! Yeah. Praise God. Okay, boys and girls, let's all stand up. We want to close in a song. We have a gift for everybody, they say. Praise God, before you leave. I want everybody to sing. Let's hear your voice. Use your outside voice. Sing at the top of your lungs. You know, let me just say something here for one moment. You know, sometimes we think about this. You know, you don't have to sing as good as she does or like me. The Bible says that make a joyful noise to the Lord. You know, we could sing song. You don't have to be in tune. You don't have to rhyme. You don't have to have a good style. You don't have to have a quiver and a nice, you know, tone in your voice. Everybody should sing. Everybody. So sing with all your heart. If you're singing bad, it's too bad for the people around you. Just go ahead and sing. Amen? Don't be afraid to sing in this church. We want everybody to sing. So, are we ready?